Welcome to week three in finding what you've been missing in your life. So we look at all those fruit of the Spirit that are talked about in Galatians 5, love, joy, peace, and patience. Those things that we're so often looking for in life. And today, as I mentioned, we're looking at peace and patience. Have you heard that there's a pandemic sweeping the world? Not COVID. For this one, there is no treatment. There is no cure. It is deadlier than COVID. In fact, it's 100% fatal. It's called Fusarium Wilt Tropical Race 4, TR4 for short. And fortunately, it kills bananas, not people. But that's not good news if you like bananas. See, last year it made the jump from Asia to Latin America, where most of our bananas come from. And soon the Cavendish variety of bananas will be extinct. And that's important because 99% of all the bananas that are traded across the world are Cavendish bananas. See, like the wealthy apple, all these bananas started out with a single source, with the banana grown in the greenhouse of William Cavendish, Duke of Devonshire, in 1834. And cuttings off that banana were multiplied and spread across the world. And it's what we eat today. And unfortunately, the Cavendish banana has no resistance to TR4. It's deadly. So imagine having no bananas. Kind of gives new meaning to that old song, "Yes, we have no bananas." Except this is for real. As if we didn't have enough to worry about with COVID and the economy and elections. And now, maybe we'll have no bananas. These are unsettling times. And so many of us are looking for peace. But where can we find it? Where can we find it in a world like ours that seems to be falling apart? Well, as with all the fruit of the Spirit, we find it back at the source. We find it back with our triune God. Remember, Jesus is called the Prince of Peace, the Holy Spirit, the giver of peace, God, our protector, who grants us peace. Now, we can't create peace on our own. We can't make it like it's something that we manufacture. But we can go to the source. Remember back a week or so ago when we were looking at Jesus' words in John 14, how he said that I'm the vine and you are the branch, and if you stay connected to me, you'll bear much fruit. Well, just before he says that, he says this about peace and the Holy Spirit. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Don't let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. We can't create it, but we can get peace from the source. Jesus says, my peace I give to you. And while we can't create it, and it comes from the source, we can cultivate it. Like other fruit, we can cultivate peace in our lives. So how can we do that? How do we cultivate this peace that the Holy Spirit gives us? Well, probably the most common way is prayer. You don't need me to tell you that when things are unsettling, we can turn to prayer. And you can pray in any way that works for you. Maybe it's the Lord's Prayer, and you simply want to pray the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Or maybe you pray one that you made up on your own. Jesus, I'm so worried, help me. We can use all sorts of prayers. The problem is that so often our prayers don't relieve our anxiety and our worry, they increase it because we think that that the power of the prayer is up to us, that it's our power that does it. And so we worry about praying it right or having enough faith as we pray, and it just makes us more and more anxious. And we have no peace, even when we're praying, when we think that we have to create it. And that's why in Philippians 4, we were reminded to pray, but then reminded that the peace is of God. It says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." The peace comes from God, but we can cultivate it through prayer. And even when we don't know if we can get our prayers right, we're reminded that the Holy Spirit will pray for us. Romans 8:26. "In the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans," or as other translations puts it, "with sighs too deep for words." Even when we don't know how to pray, the Holy Spirit is praying for it, for us, praying with us. Reading all these scriptures reminds me that another way that we can cultivate peace in our lives is by reading God's Word. Maybe even memorizing some of the scriptures that point to the peace that we have in God and for God's desire for us to have peace. There are scriptures like 2 Peter 1 verse 2. "Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." Or Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. And then, of course, there's we just heard from Jesus in John 14. And that is that his peace he gives to us. "Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." All these scriptures can help us to cultivate God's peace in our life. And there's still another way that we can cultivate peace, and that's simply by giving up our frantic worrying and resting in God, trusting in the Lord, opening our hearts up to the movement of God's Spirit. Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I'm God." Often in looking for peace, we do it frantically, and things race around in our head, and we may be physically racing around. So perhaps a way to cultivate might be for you to get a candle and just go into a room by yourself, light that candle, and just open yourself up to God's Spirit. Or maybe for you, it's a walk in the park or a walk out in the woods and let the beauty of God's creation and the gorgeous color in the leaves just speak a word of peace to your heart. That all of our time on social media or watching the news will never be able to do. So there's so many ways that we can cultivate the peace of God in our lives. But the number one way, I think, to cultivate peace in our lives is to be peacemakers. Remember Jesus' words in the Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God." Or James puts it this way. He says, "Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance." Oops, that's Timothy. How about if I get James for you? Too many bookmarks. Here's James. "But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere, peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest. And this isn't sow like sewing clothes, making something on our own. This is sow as in planting the seeds that the Holy Spirit gives us. And when we plant and cultivate peace, then we get a harvest in return. A week ago, the staff was sitting in this very room. We were watching a video seminar, and one of the speakers was the Episcopal Bishop Michael Curry. He's the one that preached at the royal wedding between Prince Harry and Meghan Markle. And he told a story about making peace. He said there was two neighbors who lived next to each other. One was a white woman and one was a black woman. And the white woman hated that there was a black woman living next to her. And the white woman also raised chickens. And so when she would clean out the chicken coop, she would go over to the fence that separated them and she would toss the chicken poop over into the neighbor's yard. And the neighbor, instead of tossing it back or cursing and yelling, she would pick it up and put it on her garden. And this went on for years. And eventually, the chicken poop thrower got sick. And she was confined to her bed, and her neighbor heard. And her neighbor came over with some soup and a bouquet of flowers. And she came in, and she fed spoonful by spoonful that woman who had treated her so hatefully all those years. And when it was over, the woman lying in the bed saw the flowers, said, "Those are such gorgeous flowers. Where did they come from?" And the woman said, "They came from my garden." She had turned a sign of hate into a sign of peace. And Jesus says, when we do that, we find peace ourselves. It's just like with love. God gives us love, pours love into us so that we can pour love out. And the more that we pour that love out on others, the more love that we find that we have. And it's the same way with peace. The Holy Spirit gives us peace so that we can be peacemakers. And the more that we make peace, the more peace we find in our own lives. That's what it means to bear fruit, to have a fruitful life. It's to take what the Holy Spirit gives us, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, all those things, cultivate it, share it, and then find that we have a never-ending resource of more and more that comes our way. Now, I said we're going to speak about peace and patience. So before your patience runs out this morning, let me get on to patience. You know, so often we think of patience as just not snapping when life frustrates us. God, give me patience and give it to me right now. You know, if we can just not snap, then we kind of think, well, that's patience. That's the patience that I need in our life. But the patience that comes from God is so much deeper and so much richer. It is the confidence that we can trust in the Lord no matter what. That we aren't controlled by the circumstances around us or all of our momentary frustrations or of the fear that comes from waiting and not knowing, that uncertainty. Because, you know, it's not the waiting that usually gets to us. It's the uncertainty. It's the not knowing what's going to happen or when it's going to happen that drives that anxiety that we seek patience for. It's that uncertainty that bothers us. And that's why I like baking over cooking. Because with baking, I've got certainty. When I make a pie, I put it in the oven, I set the timer, and I can relax because I know it's going to be done when that timer dings. And so I don't worry. I go about my life. I read a book. I do whatever until the timer goes off. But with cooking, it's different. I mean, there's an old saying about the frustration of cooking: a watched pot never boils. And you know what I mean, right? You sit there and it seems like it's never going to boil. And if you're making candy, which I've done a time or two, it's even more frustrating. Because then once it boils, you have to get it to boil long enough to reach a certain temperature. And that seems to take forever, when in reality it takes less time than to make a pie. But in making the pie, there's no uncertainty. I am confident it's going to be done in 50 minutes or whatever that recipe calls for. Whereas in cooking, you just never know. And that's that way with life. When we have certainty, when we have confidence that we can depend on something, then we can be patient. Then we're not worried about the wait. It's when we're uncertain that the waiting gets to us. And God gives us that certainty. God gives us patience by being faithful and dependable, by being able to count on God and having the certainty of God's love for us. We do not have to wait. No matter what we're waiting for and through, we do not have to wait in fear or uncertainty. The Apostle Paul, writing to young Timothy, uses Paul's own life as an example of patience. Not patience from him, but patience from God. And he calls us to model our lives after God's patience. A patience that comes from knowing what God is planning and doing to love us and save us. So now we get to Timothy. 1 Timothy 1. So here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. God's patience is both a model for our own behavior, but also a promise that we can wait upon the Lord, knowing that the Lord is merciful and gracious, abounding in steadfast love. Now, we live in a world that is very unpeaceful right now, and it's hard to be patient when there are so many things to worry about. COVID and the economy and bananas. And don't even get me started on the threats to cocoa and avocados and coffee. But we can find unflappable patience because we can trust in the Lord. And we can find peace because the Holy Spirit pours peace into us and allows us to be peacemakers for others. So my challenge to you this week is to be a peacemaker. Exercise peace like you would exercise your muscles, and see if the Holy Spirit doesn't grow peace in you and a little patience too. So that's the challenge. Be a peacemaker this week to the peace that the Holy Spirit gives you. Let us pray. Oh Lord, we are not very patient people, especially when we're worried. So help us to trust in you. And Lord, we're not very peace-filled people when we're not extending peace to others. So help us to be peacemakers. This week, give us opportunities where we can step into your shoes a little bit and be instruments of peace. God, we pray for our world that is so messed up, where there's so many things that grab our attention and pull our peace away. But may we find peace in you. May we rest in you. Be still and know that you are God. Amen.